This has been a rough week. So I'm probably not myself this morning, but let me ask you a question. And I'm not trying to be funny. Because there's been a lot of series of things that have kind of bumped me back. Why are we here? What's that? To learn about God. Why else are we here? To worship. Why else are we here? Serve a risen Savior. To encourage one another. I'm sorry, I missed it. Yeah. You know, watching Brother Jim die the other night, there was only really one thing on his mind. Now I've got a little courage, I can talk about it maybe. I got my feelings out a little bit. He told me, he said, Pastor, I got to get out of here. So I prayed for him to get out of here. And through that whole process, there was only one thing on Jim's mind. And that was Jesus. Brothers and sisters, we got to get Jesus back on our minds. We've got to really focus on Christ. And we need to recenter the church. And a book that I was doing for class talked about center church. Just really burdened me. And then with Jim, by the way, Jim passed a glorious passing. Actually, that's how I want to go. Is like Brother Jim went. And I thought about this message today about being in tune with God. And I think about Micah, and you know the one big verse we're going to examine a lot. But I just think that as a church, personally, as your pastor, I think we've drifted. I think we need to get back to center. And I think we got to make some decisions in our own lives as to what is important and what is trivial. And I think probably we play Trivial Pursuit with our own lives. And, you know, just watching Jim pass the other night, thinking about what was important to him at the moment, and then coupled with this message this morning, and Micah's, particularly in verse 8, because that's where it's going to hit all of us. But Micah reminds us that God is, in fact, the holy judge, and he summons the people of Israel. Hear what the Lord says. Arise and plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Kind of ironic that he's now calling on the people. Of course, now that we've talked a lot about the leadership, we didn't really talk about the people. But now Micah is identifying that this isn't a leadership problem, this is a people problem. We think about God and him creating the universe. You do realize that, right? God created everything. This is his. You are created in God's image. You were designed specifically by God. God created this world. Everything that we see, everything that we know is created by him. His thumbprints are all over it. And it's interesting that now Micah calls on the mountains actually to be a witness, because God is now going to take this into the courtroom, and he's now going to call on the mountains. And what's interesting about him calling on the mountains is this is, didn't God give the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai? They witnessed it. The mountains have witnessed his glory because he formed them. So he calls on them. I want you to be a witness. God speaking through Micah, obviously, but talking about having the people plead their case. By the way, the mountains had witnessed the covenant. Actually, the seas witnessed the covenant. The people could witness the covenant because God's fingerprints are all over them. So God now has talked about eschatology, if you will, towards the end times up to this point. Now he wants to get down to business with the nation of Israel. And he makes a complaint, verses 2 and 3. Hear, you old mountains, the indictment of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. That is, they've been around for a long time. Actually, as God spoke them into existence. And the Lord has an indictment against his people. He will contend. Micah throws it into the realm of a courtroom. God is now putting Israel on trial. It's not pretty, at least from God's vantage point. And now notice what he says here in verse 3. O my people, what have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me. So God, listening to the people and listening to their dialogue with him, well, God doesn't do this, and God doesn't do that, and God didn't do this. Kind of sounds like us at times in our lives. Why didn't God do this? Why did he do this? Grumbling against God. So Micah says, okay, the Lord wants to know, how have I wearied you? And when we fast forward to the New Testament, far from being a burden, Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Actually, the opposite is true. When we are burdened, when we have troubles and trials and hardships in our lives, we turn to him. That's what Jim did the other night, by the way. I can honestly tell you, seeing him, he was in serious pain. But I can also honestly tell you, as his pastor, and we'll see him again someday in heaven, that his eyes were on Jesus, and he was calling on Jesus. Jan, some of us that were there, we know that he was calling on Christ. And what he was saying is, Lord, take me, take my burden, take my trial, take my hardship, take my pain. God is not a burden, shouldn't be. And if God is a burden to you today, then you've got a problem. Actually, God is the burden lifter. He's the one that removes our burdens. What do you do when you have hardship and trials? Do you go to him? I got a call this week from a man. He said, I need counseling. I said, okay. I said, I can't do it next week because I've got school all week, but the week after. And he said, yes. That's good. And I said, what's the problem? He said, I just need some counseling. He said, I am a problem. And I said, well, at least you got to start there. See where he is spiritually. Please. Seriously, with all love, you got to start talking to Jesus. You got to start talking to Christ. This is not a game. This is real. And we get to him, we give our burdens and we lay them on him. And notice the promise. I will give you rest. People of Israel had their theology goofed up. They thought God was a burden and a problem. God was not the problem. And he's going to go in and he's going to talk about, why he wasn't a problem, because he says that he is merciful. Notice verse 4. Now, this is a familiar one, and I'm going to show you a clip in just a minute. Notice what Micah says. And this is God. He's answering that charge. I've been a burden to you. I've been a problem to you. Listen to what he says. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. I set before you Moses and Aaron and Miriam. Redeemed means to cause freedom, for deliverance. Watch this clip.
The Lord of hosts will do battle for us. Behold his mighty hand. Blast of his nostrils. Lead them through the midst of the waters. His will be done.
He opens the waters before them, and he bars our way with fire. Let us go from this place. Men cannot fight against a god.
Better to die in battle with a god than live in shame.
Raise God and down into it!
That's kind of a hard event to forget, isn't it? Isn't it kind of a hard event to forget? I mean, I always like the picture where the girls are going like this. God had to tell them. Don't you remember I brought you out of the land of Egypt? They should know that. Does God have to remind you how he delivered you? You remember that day that you trusted in Christ as your Lord and Savior? I remember that day well. Have we lost that? Because we're playing churchianity or... We got to get back to center. We got to get in tune with God again. As individuals and as a corporate body of Christ. Go back. I want to challenge you. When you go home today, maybe there in the quietness of your own heart, think about that day that you trusted in Christ and realize that God is merciful. And it should be that we should be able to go back in our own recesses of our own hearts and remember every point where God has been merciful to us. How many of you have been benefactors of God's mercy? All of us. None of us really deserve anything except separation from Him. But then secondly, not only is God merciful and he redeems and saves, by the way, that's why he's a holy, righteous God. He blesses us. Notice, O my people, verse 5. O my people, remember Balak, king of Moab, devised, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him, and what happened at Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. Two events here that Micah draws. First of all, is where God, through the false prophet Balaam, speaks a curse or a blessing on the nation of Israel. Second one was where Joshua crossed the Jordan. Two more major events where God turned a curse into a blessing, and God raised up, actually after Moses died, raised up Joshua to bring the people into the promised land. If we draw the connection to the New Testament, Jesus Christ is the one that has been raised up and leads us into the promised land of heaven. Do you know Christ? Do you know Christ as your Lord and Savior? Then we need to get back to center. We need to get in tune with God again. All of us, myself included, we need to get back to center. And we need to get in tune with God. Lastly, and desires true worship, and he gives us wrong way and the right way. This is a wrong way, and I made some notes here, personal observations, but with what shall I come before the Lord? Now this is the people. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? So at least they had that part right. They knew God was transcendent. They knew he was holy. Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Step up the ante just for a minute. Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for sin of my soul? I like what Dr. Kenneth Barker said here. The burnt offering was wholly consumed and intended to express one's devotion, commitment, and complete surrender to God. Yet, such total commitment is the one thing the people were still withholding from the Lord. Why'd you come today? Why do you give? Why do we give? Why do you serve? These are questions I can't answer. I can answer them for me, but I cannot answer them for you. We need to get back to Christ, get back to center, and get in tune with God. Because I'm wondering if we just show up here on Sunday mornings, and maybe why I was so burdened this morning. And are we going through the motions? Are we just going through the motions? One of the things that I've burdened about as I read this Center Church book or aspects was we've got to do more evangelical events. I just think that if we got back to center and we got in tune with God and we started doing things to outreach, Shane said it, to bring people into the church. I don't know. Yeah, I've got a lot of burdens this morning. Various burdens. And it's clear, yet such total commitment is the one thing people were still withholding from the Lord. That's why they got into trouble. Even though God had blessed them and saved them and delivered them, they grumbled against God. We've seen this over and over and over again in the Old Testament. They grumbled against God. God was basically their enemy. Therefore, he could not be trusted, and so we'll do things our own way. That usually ends in a bad train wreck. I keep Jim on my heart and my mind all week. On that night, I saw what was important. And I saw what was not important. We need to get back to center. We need to get in tune with God. And we need to be on our face before Him. I think God will bless this church, wants to bless this church. For those of you that are in center and you're focused, and thank you. There's also a right way. This is where we're going to spend a few minutes. As I've studied the Bible, it seems that God appears to me that God is ultimately concerned with our relationship with Him and our relationship with one another. In fact, the cross is probably a good demonstration of this, because here you have the man-to-God relationship, and here you have the man-to-man relationship. And I think that's why Christ died. Obviously to save us. That's a slam dunk. But notice what he says to the people. I think this is God's response, depending on how you read the text. Has he told you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. And as I looked at this, I saw that dimension of our relationship with one another and our relationship with God. Now watch. This is what God requires. First of all, God requires that we do justice, or that we be fair with others. That means fair in our dealings, fair with how we treat one another. That means that we give others breaks. We give wiggle room. I know Brother Jim wasn't thinking about this that night. He was focused on Christ. But, you know, Jim's kind of an example of that. At least what I exhibited, or what I visualized him. Jim loved people. If this sermon seems to be about Jim, it is in a way, because it's a big part of my life this week. Jim loved everybody in this church. Now, some of you didn't know him as well as others. I realize that. But he loved everybody in this church. And he just kept telling me that night over and over and over again, Pastor, I need to get out of here. I need to get out of here. You think about how we live here. We need to be fair with others. I think that's right, and I think God still requires that. Secondly, we're to show mercy to others, love kindness. That means we need to be loving with one another. Listen, do you realize everybody in this room this morning that is saved are brothers and sisters in Christ? We should be loving one another. We should be loving one another. We should be loving one another. I think Jesus said it too. Love one another. I think if we were back at center and in tune with God, that would come second. That'd be just right there. Because I don't think the relationship we have with one another, let me rephrase this. Our relationship with God, with ourselves, is only as good as our relationship with one another, because I think they work together. So that means start loving one another. Start being nice to one another. Start caring for one another. And I think if we were back in tune with God and centered, I think that would be automatic. Lastly, and here it is, the relationship with God. Walk humbly, that is, without arrogance. What sin does God seem to not like all through Scripture? Pride. There it is. So the question is today, how's your heart? I really think we need to come together as a church and find our tune with God again. Easy to drift. It's easy to go to one side or the other, lose sight, do this. We do this so many times. And I want us to come together. And I want us to work for the common good of reaching people for Christ. Because I'll be honest with you, Jim, and I think senior moment, Kent, your mother, what was her name again? Ernest. Two people I watch die the way I want to die. I don't want to be on my deathbed thinking about this, that, and the other. I want to focus on Christ. So I guess we do that now. I guess as a body of Christ, we get in tune with God, we come together, we love one another, we walk humbly with God, and we try to reach this community for Jesus Christ. Do you guys want to do that? Starts with all of us. And maybe even making, recommitting yourself to the work here. Some of you that have been outside, and maybe that's what, you know, just recommit yourself to this work. Now, having said all that, I know this is going to sound dumb, but this is still one of the best churches I've pastored. I got every confidence in this body of Christ that we will come together and we will get back to center and we will get in tune with God and we will have so many people in this place that we'll have to go to 2 and 3 services. Let's pray.